tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We are doing The 100, Season 2, Episode 13, Resurrection.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm your host, Tari J. Miller. Joining me today is Alexis Torres.
Hey, guys.
And Ben Bateman.
Oh, hey, guys. What's up?
And if you haven't done so already, make sure to like, subscribe, click that little thumbs up, and make sure that we know that you love what we're doing here. And if you don't know, if you're your first time joining us, we are available on YouTube, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, everywhere you want to be, we are. So thank you for joining us today. We will be following us, or please follow us on the hashtag ABTV100, yep. And we'll be keeping an eye on that. And
that's why I have my computer
now and throughout
out.
The week. Yeah.
Because I'm reading tweets and in the chat roll. If you don't know how to get to the chat roll, go down to AfterBuzzTV.com, hit live chat, and hashtag one of us,
yeah.
So we know.
Oh my gosh, you just tweeted a picture of me. I'm right here. I just got your tweet. I'm going to favorite your tweet.
Yeah, you should. And then retweet it. Ooh. So that everybody can see it.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitter, keep track of us throughout the week and during the show. You can catch me on Twitter at Tari J. It's TauriJay. Mm. Come on, guys. Let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at atorres890.
My name is Ben Bateman, and I am available under Ben Bateman Media here. I'm Ben Bateman Media here. And Ben Bateman
here.
Media here. On Twitter and Instagram.
And also here.
And right in my heart. Here. So, I'm going to cut you off here. Just for
all right, Kanye.
Get out of here.
I think you need to give your award to Beyonce, okay?
All right.
So, no, we just want to start this off right now, because if you guys are watching, we started out, or we had a little poll question on the show last week.
Yes, I have to tell you for that.
Yeah, and we're not going to reveal the numbers to you guys, but we are going to tell you, unless you guys sway the vote, because I know the numbers in my head, I am going to vote for Henry Ian Cusack Kane as one of the three possible tweet mentions right now. We're going to get you guys to tweet. That's my vote. What about you, Tari?
I'm voting for Henry as well.
Well, that's just a majority rules right there, because he already was winning. So that's the plan, guys. We want to get Kane, Henry, Ian Cusack. Who are you going to vote for, Alexis?
Murphy.
Oh.
We want to get him in here. I think we have a good chance of getting him anyway. But
second runner-up is Kane.
Kane.
Yeah.
Desmond from Lost and Kane from The 100. He is available on Twitter at HICusack. So tweet him this minute, right now, on Twitter, and let him know how much you want to see him on the show, AfterBuzz TV. That's what you guys got to do. And tweet Lindsay Morgan, because she's great. Let's get to the show.
Yes, please.
Awesome. So what did you guys think? General thoughts.
Holy guacamole shnikes, everything that I can think of in one whole...
All the things that have holes in them.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Like, it was crazy. Like, this episode was awesome.
Yeah.
And extremely violent, I feel. I mean, I feel like the whole show is pretty violent, but I feel like this episode was like... Holy crap.
It's really violent. I thought it was about 60% good, and there was like 30 to 40%. And I wouldn't even say in like episode content as much as just small moments.
Okay.
That I was like, this episode let me down in some ways more than some have in a while.
Really?
Not like a lot of things surpassed my expectations. It was an awesome episode in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
There was just a handful of things that brought me back to that like, well, I don't know about that sort of attitude that I used to have more often that I haven't had in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll happen.
Yeah. And as we get to those things, let us know what you think. I mean, we want your honest opinion.
Do you want me to tweet you about it? I'll tweet you my thoughts?
Yes. You can tweet me at Tari J.
Let me know what you think.
T-A-U-R-I-K-A-Y.
I'm like, I say nothing. I'm going to keep my mouth shut now.
I think we should just keep dropping our socials throughout this.
Do you guys want to talk about Denzel Washington? Just kidding. Let's get to the...
What?
My man. No. Okay, so let's start out with talking about the events of Mount Weather. We have the kids mounting their defense, and they're pretty prepared.
I'd say so.
Blocking the entrances, they're getting buckets of water together, mm-hmm. They're arming themselves. So we get all of the soldiers trying to come in, and they think they got this. They bust open the doors, they shoot in the gas,
yeah.
And then we find the kids laid out. But turns out it was a trap that the kids had laid, and they start murking fools.
I mean, really.
Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just straight murdering people.
Yeah.
Just really very violent. a lot of like butcher knife and axes and mallets.
Did you guys think that they would go this far? Like, did you think that they would actually start killing guards?
Yes.
I mean, I guess. I just didn't really think it was going to be so violent. I mean, one of the notes I wrote was like, I know we always say that this is Lord of the Flies. It is Lord of the Flies.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
But it's taking all the characters and all the situations to such an outlandish place and it's not outlandish. It's just, it really is taking to this point of like, we're just going to get as gory as we can get away with, because that's what would happen if they were chained up and their friends were getting killed. This is real lighthearted, and then you're just going to murder 10 guards, even if they all have kids like Lovejoy's. They're just all going to die.
Why'd you got to bring that one back? Ow. But
just
I mean,
saying.
I get it.
Just
yeah.
Saying.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it was necessary because I feel like with Mount Weather, we've been taking the safe route. A lot.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah. And then now this is the time for them to just kind of explode with all their emotions and just start going through guards. So that's just how I feel about it. Like, if I was in that situation, I feel like you know, they're killing our friends. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
Blood for blood, as
exactly.
The Browsers say.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it was finally time to see them kind of, you know.
Fight back
and no holding back either.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I thought it was just, but yeah, I was kind of like, am I watching a CW show right now? Because it doesn't feel like a CW show,
right?
Take it to the limit. Here's a question for you guys. How many days has it been since Harper got off the bone marrow operation table, do you think?
I'd say probably three or four days.
Yeah.
Do you find it a little ridiculous that she's able to hold a semi-automatic weapon?
Adrenaline.
And, like, hold herself up and a couple days. I mean, I've never had my bone marrow drilled. I don't know.
Right.
Just seemed a little like, you couldn't have put the gun in someone else's hand?
Nope.
It's a heavy weapon.
Nope. I say it was pure adrenaline, and she was just like, I'm not getting taken one more time for that. Because, I mean, she went through the most out of all of them. So I feel like she was literally going through willpower, adrenaline, and whatever else that was keeping her standing. Because at one point, before they escaped, that she was kind of like weak and didn't know what to do. But as soon as they fought back and took over, she was a completely different person.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that's my explanation for it. I feel like, yeah, she should be like in a corner somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am glad that she wasn't like that. She was kind of like, I'm going to kill every single person that comes in through this door.
Yeah.
There was just a ridiculous amount of killing in all aspects of the episode. I mean,
it was kind of nuts.
The way it opened and then in Mount Weather, I mean, just a lot of murder. So
yeah.
Which is what we were expecting, because it's wartime now.
Yeah.
You know?
It's really, and it's getting there. That's 100% what's happening. So, yeah, I mean, other Mount Weather stuff, I would say,
we're going in reverse.
We had like too much fun on this panel now. We got criticized for like
what are you drinking? I need to get on your level.
So I was just going to jump to, so Fox gets taken.
Mm. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you Kanye style right now, but like, I did not care for her for like a split second. She was just like, thanks for, you know, I'm scared, and kind of like that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, so something's gonna happen to her. And then she gets taken, and I was just like, that was predictable. Why did they need to do that?
When shirtless Bellamy saunters out of his tent early on with two guns and two women, is it Harper and Fox? I know Harper's one of the girls. Right?
Yeah, I do remember Harper.
Is Fox the other one?
I do not remember.
I don't remember.
Let us know in the comments.
Hashtag fact check.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying something.
Yeah, so she gets taken by the guards. They're going to drill her marrow. And, I mean, yes, she's kind of a plot point to get from A to B.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I understood why they had to do it, but in my brain I was just like, really?
Jazz was like, you're gonna be okay.
Oh, so cheesy.
Oh, you're not okay.
Yeah, famous last words.
Did you see that coming?
I was like, did anybody else not see that coming? Wanted to throw my phone at the screen. I was just like, no, Fox, no.
Well, I just thought she was going to die. Like, because...
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Because all the kids made it out without any casualties.
I know. Like, also, where were you?
They've also, like, pretty much... I mean, if they're going to kill someone, it would have been Harper. But Harper was dead, but she's alive still. She's back.
She's a trooper.
she's still in the show. So I don't think that they just throw the kids' lives away. Like, we assumed that they were just going to kill most of the 47 at some point. I mean, maybe they still will, but right.
I feel like they killed a majority of them so far.
Yeah, but I mean, Fox is, she's okay.
I mean, I'm glad that Bellamy saved her.
So. That was sweet. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I love how you pointed that out, too. We were like, who's this guy? And then you're like, oh, it's Bellamy. And then he starts shooting people. And I was like, oh, nice.
More death.
I follow so many. I follow so many 100 fan accounts, by the way, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do I.
And there's a number of them that are called Bellamy Blake or, like, Heart Bellamy Blake or, like, Emoji Cat with Sunglasses Bellamy Blake or something.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
He's a cool cat.
Obviously, that's what it means.
Thank you.
Everybody knows it's a cool cat.
I didn't know what that
I was explaining it to Alexis.
Because I was really lost.
I thought she meant in, like, a metaphorical sense.
Nope.
Anyway, the point is that when he walked in, you guys were like, "What? Who's that? Who's that?" And I just looked. I was like Bellamy Blake, but I said his full name because like I see it online. Yeah. By the way, guys, I will follow you back if you tweet at me and you're a fan account that I don't already follow. Please, I want to follow all of you.
Me too.
Yeah,
100%. You'll get a free follow out of this guy. Two thumbs. All right. So anyway, Bellamy Blake, he pops the two guards, takes him down. And we're now finally reunited for the first time. Was Jasper with him in that moment?
No, not in that moment. I want to go back to a silly thing that happened. When you said Bellamy's full name, to me it felt like when they have those freeze frames in movies where it's like he's reintroduced and it's like, boom, Bellamy Blake. Bah, 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 bah,
I mean, bah. Yeah. That was exactly what I was thinking. I just wanted him to be like, whoosh, whoosh, like walking through. I would like, stop. That's what was happening. Sorry, we apologize.
Jill, scale of 1 to 10, leave a comment. how ridiculous do you find us as a panel in general when we act like this? If it's an 11, feel free to share.
No, there was somebody...
We still love you, the mascot. I just want your opinion, because that's what I'm taking on what we're doing.
There was somebody here who was like, you guys are too ridiculous. I'm going to find it later, but... Oh, my God.
No, I remember. I read it.
Yeah, I don't know who it was.
I didn't respond. No.
But yeah, so...
My word.
Bellamy meets back up with Maya, and they have Fox with her, and they need a place to store. I mean, they need a place to hide out. So Maya takes them back to her father's house. And in this moment, we find out that Maya's father and her mother were part of kind of a resistance group within Mount Weather, who was against essentially taking outsider blood. Meaning, at the time, it was just the Grounders. This was pre-47 in Mount Weather. And I guess that died out along with Maya's mother, who died in the process of resisting.
Okay, so there's two options when you're going to try to explain a character's background. Like, a character like Maya, especially, who's like she was a newer character in the season who didn't really get a lot of screen time until like the last 3 or 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. So your two options are that in a quiet moment when she's having to be like scared about something, she has a moment where she tells a little backstory. Well, I grew up and my mom was this person. I never met her or something, or I remember nothing about her, which is a very classic way they do it. Or you can do, like, smash cut exposition, which is what they just did.
Yeah.
Which is where they haven't established that stuff yet. They need to explain all of it. They do it in 5 minutes. Walk in. Dad, we've never seen Dad. We've never seen where you live. My mom was a resistance fighter against blood transfusion. She was against it. What are you doing? What mom would have wanted? Okay, can he stay here? No. Well, we're going to have him stay here. All of this happens in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And we just found out all of this. And now we're expected to just go on it, believe it, and move forward with it. So this is one of the things I was talking about where I was kind of watching and I was like, come on, guys. Like, we're almost done with the second season and she's been a pretty pivotal character. Like, we could have learned some of this stuff before right now.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me feel like it's a plot device, like the dad's going to die or something. That's the only reason that's happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could be wrong. Usually when I criticize something like this in the show, I get like slapped in the face with a wet fish of logic because they're smarter than me, the writers. But I feel like that was a little obnoxious to me. What did you guys think?
I can't even get over your analogy. Yeah. Sorry.
Hashtag wet fish of logic. Like,
but I mean, it was brilliant because I was just picturing it. Someone coming up to me and like, no. And I was like, what? No, I mean, I can get on that bandwagon a little bit because I feel like for some odd reason, I thought she was an orphan. I didn't even know she had parents for some odd reason.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if this person is a pivotal character in the book or anything like that, but I had no idea that she had any family. I thought she was just here or like they died off. I was happy to see that there was more to her and why she's so helpful and things like that. But yeah, I felt like it was a lot to take in within like 5 minutes to be like, oh, here's my dad. Oh, you know, I'm not going to go through all of it, but yeah. Right. So I feel like it was kind of necessary just to get into more of Maya's life, but at the same time, I felt like we could have actually gone through several seasons without knowing.
Yeah, it's like the backstory to me is fine to explain, and it's actually not a bad backstory. Right. It's more just the way that it's presented.
Yeah, it was kind of rushed.
Just feels disingenuous to the storytelling regarding her character so far.
Right. They could have been leaving breadcrumbs like throughout her existence with Bellamy, or even with Jasper early on in the season.
Because she spent a lot of time with Bellamy, you know, running around through Mount Weather. She could have mentioned at one point, like, my dad could help us, but I don't know if it'll work or something like that. Or my mom, you know, why are you so helpful, Maya? Oh, my mom was in the Resistance.
Exactly. At the beginning when the stakes were lower would have been the time to do it, because when she's running around with Bellamy trying to save lives, it's a little less prudent to say that stuff.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like we needed to know that she was like a blood resistance fighter. It's more like you just want to hear her talk about her mom and reference her dad and maybe meet her dad at one point in one episode, just so we know. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like since what Jasper and her have been kind of off and on again, or not really off and on, it's just their weird relationship thing that they had
they're
going
dating.
On. Yeah, like whatever. and no, I was like, it's really hard to label, I guess, in Mount Weather a little bit. But I feel like at one point, since they were dating, that she could have been like, do you want to meet my dad?
Right.
Too early. It's way too early.
Way too early. I mean, because in my brain, I'm thinking it's been weeks, but I keep forgetting it's been days in Mount Weather. But you know what I mean? Like, it could have been in passing of, like, maybe they were being cutesy somewhere and, like, accidentally ran into, oh, hi, dad, you know?
Right.
At one point.
From a writing standpoint, I feel like they initially started with her just helping because her and Jasper had a thing, and then she learned that they're not much different than they are.
Right.
And then they just kind of added this extra piece just to kind of have her connect to what the Resistance would be. So they're just like, well, we have this character who's there, and we have this Resistance that we want to use. Why don't we make them into one being? And so they just essentially had her go, here, I'm going to introduce you to this other plot piece, and then we're all going to work together. Because we see that it pans out at the end.
Right.
I mean, jumping through it.
Yeah, explain it, and then we can respond to it.
Though. Yeah. So basically, Maya gets taken prisoner by Cage. He leaves her with about 20 minutes of oxygen in a suit and demands that the kids will essentially give themselves up. They find a way to get her in to the main area that they're defending. Meanwhile, Bellamy is trying to get guns down a chute. We find out that Monty has closed off the chute, so it becomes a frantic race to get her in the chute. Bellamy jumps through the chute. They all push her in there, and then she's safe. Huzzah!
Right.
Huzzah.
And then the dad is like, they're like, who's going to save us? And she's like, them. And the dad's like, meet my friends. We're gonna, you know, hide you in the floorboards, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys are gonna, you know, be hiding.
I didn't completely understand what their plan was. I mean, I understand that they're like, oh, we'll protect you or we'll keep you safe. And I was like, but how?
Yeah. This was my
everywhere.
Issue.
Yeah. Well, apparently the cameras were disabled. So, but I don't know for how long. But at the same time, I was like, I feel like the rooms are probably gonna be really tiny. How are you gonna hide like 40? You know, plus or less people in all these different, and it looked like there was like maybe 10 of them.
Right.
So I'm not good at math, guys, so don't I'm not even going to try to figure that out. But
there was a number.
Yeah, like I feel like it's going to, I don't understand like how that's going to work out, because even though you're like doing the whole like Anne Frank type of thing and trying to like hide them somewhere, I feel like we don't have enough space for all these kids.
Right. Well, and my issue was why they couldn't just leave the they could have just left Mount Weather, especially if they got the chutes working. Mm-hmm. They probably could have found a way to get them shot out into a. I mean, because I imagine all of the septic trash and stuff in Mount Weather isn't stored inside of Mount Weather. All of them can go outside, with the exception of Maya.
Yeah.
Well, how many kids were there of the 47 still alive that had like gone through the chute? What, less than 20?
I have no idea.
It didn't look like it was more than 20.
Probably wasn't a lot, yeah, because some of them have died. Others
were injured during the raid. Yeah, the raid.
Right.
So
yeah, that's fair.
I think we're down to like 28 now, probably.
Okay. I mean, this storyline, it's fine. This to me was like the low point of the episode. Just the way that this all worked out. I'm not even necessarily saying that it's not going to work out. I could totally see in two episodes this takes us to a place that I'm very happy with. It was just the way that this episode happened and this part of the episode. I'm not finding myself particularly attached to a lot of the Mount Weather characters right now.
Right.
I don't feel like they're being developed with the same interesting angle that the characters on the ground are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that I dislike them or anything like that. I'm just not quite as engaged. And this was a little stumble, but we'll see. I have faith. I have total faith in the writers.
Right.
I was quite intrigued with Jasper and how he's doing, because we saw that one moment where, you know, they took Fox and he kind of lost it for a split second took his axe to a random guard who was kind of already dying at one point.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting to kind of witness, because I mean, we're used to seeing like Finn or one of the others kind of, you know, doing something, but this is the first time I've seen like kind of Jasper kind of losing it. I mean, I feel like he's lost it before, but
not to this degree
like at all.
Side note, I like that we got a name check for Finn.
Yeah,
because this was their first interaction of the Mount Weather kids understanding what's happening outside of there. And I was ready for Bellamy to tell him that Finn's dead, but I'm glad that we had that moment where he's like, all right, you have enough to worry about.
Right.
Let's just hang on that for a second.
I like that moment a lot, too.
Yeah.
Definitely was a reminder how long it's been since they had all seen each other, and also an indicator of how much things have changed. Oh, Finn finally got his peace. It's like, really? Because you don't remember. You haven't seen anything that's happened. You don't know a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
We could just skip the rest of what I'm going to say, because I'm not going to cry.
It's okay. It'll be okay. You're okay. All right. We'll move on. So basically, that is what takes place in Mount Weather. All the kids are now being sheltered. Bellamy goes back to being undercover. And so now we move to Tondisi, where we're in the wake of the missile being, the missile destroying all of Tondisi, and everyone is being either pulled out of rubble, carrying their own limbs, and then trying to figure out what's happening. And so I'd like to first talk about Abby.
Yep.
She's running around trying to help as many people as she can while dealing with the fact that she knows that her daughter is kind of becoming, I won't say a monster, but she's becoming not her little girl anymore.
Yeah.
And so she, as she's helping people, makes her way down because she hears that someone is trapped beneath a bunch of rubble. And it is Kane.
And before we knew who it was, the subtitles on our screen told us Kane's voice was the one.
That was really funny. I was just like, oh, wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah, right?
Jeez.
It should have just been like, mysterious voice.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we get Kane, and he's trapped. He has basically a beam on his leg that is keeping him alive. His femoral artery is lacerated.
Hmm.
So if they remove the beam, he's going to bleed out.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I was trying to remember it. I was like, something lacerated. It was a certain artery that I can't remember. So I'm really glad that you remembered that.
Thanks. I think I wrote it down.
That's good, because I didn't.
But yeah, and what I enjoyed about their interaction, I mean, because we spend the whole time with Kane and Abby, her trying to save Kane, him trying to convince her to try to find Clark, and then them having a really do heart to heart about Clark's development.
Big time.
And like, where they are and their place in this whole world. And we get from Kane that that Clark has essentially learned from them all the things that they did on the Ark. She learned essentially what sacrifice means, and that's what they're coming to terms with. I mean, what did you guys think about this?
This is another moment where I didn't have any problem with it while it was happening. I was totally okay with it. It was like, okay, Kane's going to die here. This is the moment where Kane, and we'll get to Indra in a minute, but definitely it felt like one of those two characters probably was going to die this episode. There was a missile hitting the city. We'd never, Tallinn, D.C., we didn't see them clear the area. So you assume one of them would, and it, the way that they had Kane staged, and the way that he was talking, I wrote, you know, it's like this is the, it's like the, his final thoughts, they are sort of the end of his arc as a character. Because as we've talked about, he went from being this kind of staunch, kind of a stick-up-his-butt character at the beginning of the show who seemed to be a little power-hungry and he didn't really understand. And then as things have gone, he's had to make these hard decisions. It's like we've talked about, he's become much more passive, much more reasonable, kind of more of a pacifist, smarter, watching more, listening more. And this was, to me, that like he's, you know, he's having this epiphany as he's dying. I was totally okay with it. This was the moment that he was, his character was going to fade out on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's okay. I was like, well, now I can just get, you know, I'll get this beam off your leg and my adrenaline will just make it so that I can actually make your leg just fine. Even though I've gotten more injured and more covered in rubble, I'm now going to be able to do something I couldn't have done 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's another one of these moments where it's not the worst thing. It's just a little bit like, really? Like, he's alive? Why? This was the moment that he could have died. There was not really a reason to keep him alive. I love Kane. He's great. I want him on the show. Come on the show, Henry Cusack. I mean, you're an awesome dude, but...
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys this. Because we've gotten, like, main character deaths. We've had Wells. We've had Finn.
Mm-hmm.
But those are really the only ones we've gotten. And they've been kind of led up to. There's been a lot of preamble to their deaths. But do you feel like as we've gone on, a lot of the characters have been dealt with kid gloves? Because I feel like now at this point, the characters have become so popular, so such fan favorites, that if they were to kill any of the characters, that with the exception of Finn, because they had been kind of leading up to it for a long time, we've been had time to emotionally prepare. Do you think that that would affect the viewership? Do you think that the fans would accept it as much? Because, I mean, at this point, we've had characters be near death, but never experience death with the exception of one.
I mean, fanatical fans of television's most popular shows, Game of Thrones, accept every week that it's possible any character can die. And I'm not saying that this is Game of Thrones, but I'm also saying this is a highly quality show now. This is, I really like this show a lot. We haven't used the phrase for a CW show in like 10 episodes. I mean, it's really surpassed the expectations that I had for it when I first started watching it. It's way beyond it now. So them killing anyone, granted, as a critic, maybe I'm a little bit more prepared for that. But I feel like the reason I'm saying it's okay that Kane could have died, or Indra, which there's the other one that seemed like it might have happened. It's like, it's okay to occasionally have casualties in your story. It's important to have them. When the stakes are, you know, characters we're not familiar with dying to a missile, it's not relevant. Somebody like Fox, if she was to have died, that's not really relevant. It is as a function to make Jasper upset, but it's not relevant as a fan.
Right.
It's relevant when Finn dies. You know, that's a relevant plot point. It would be relevant if Indra or if Kane were to, and I do think we're going to have a few character deaths by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I think at least one, if not two.
Right.
You know, both of them could still die before the season's over.
I mean, I guess it's just tough because the fact that this is a very fan-driven kind of show, like,
so much,
with characters and stuff like that. Like, even last week when we talked about our predictions about Kane actually dying, which we thought that it was going to come true this time, like, everybody was like, Kane can't die,
you
can't die. Like, it was, they were upset. And I totally agree with the Game of Thrones theory. Like, ever since, like, day one, I was like, okay, I'm not going to love a character because he's probably going to die. But I feel like people went into that mindset just because they already knew about the franchise, I guess, maybe.
Right.
I feel like with CW characters, it's really hard, you know?
Yeah.
Anything that's on, like, not normal television, but, you know, like...
Non-HBO.
Non-HBO, Showtime, and stuff like that, because, like, Dexter's the same way, and, you know, that was Showtime, and just other things like that. So I feel like I feel like someone should have died, at least one of the two, especially since Indra got shot in the gut, and usually people usually don't survive that, like, normally, I feel like, even in TV shows. And then,
I mean,
so let's jump to that really quickly, because basically, aside from Kane and Abby who are underground, there's other stuff happening above with the same right. story, same Pondisi.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a sniper after the bomb's gone off that's taking people out and it's kind of pinning everyone down.
Also, you have like a lot of ammo apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy
infinite shit. Ammo. It's like a Call of Duty game.
Yeah, like he did. I feel like there wasn't even time for him to like reload or anything like that. So I was like,
yeah.
How much ammo do you have? I mean, I'm not going to get super picky about it because, I mean, it's a TV show. But, like, I thought about it. I was like, okay, we're, like, what, 8-9 rounds in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much does a sniper rifle have? Yeah, like, right. I was trying to, like, do the math there, and I was just like, this doesn't seem right.
He could have a lot of rounds on.
I mean...
Yeah, I figured he has other... I wanted to say mags, and I'm like, that's not correct. But you know what I mean? Like, he has other type... Like, he has other ammo probably back up somewhere, you know, on him. But I was sitting there going, it was dark... It was raining,
and
then
all night.
Yeah, and I'm like, now it's morning, like it's light out.
Just one guy.
Yeah.
So so basically, you have him hiding up in the woods, and you have Octavia who is trying to revive Indra, who basically comes out from like a being buried by something, and it seems like she's hurt. You're like, oh, she's okay, and then she takes a pretty gruesome looking bullet through the back.
Right.
That is another like, okay, so you're probably gonna die because you seems like you're bleeding out. But, you know, maybe it'll be okay. And then Clark and Lexa, who are wandering around the woods, they see... It's like a total Saving Private Ryan moment. Like, the battle, somebody's carrying an arm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that kind of thing. And so Lincoln's with Octavia. And Lincoln and Clark both decide with Lexa, we're going to go find the sniper. They decide separately. They end up in the woods chasing the sniper. And they then end up confronting the sniper. And that's basically the way this all works. So there's a lot to address here.
Yes.
Tari, I'd like to start with you.
Yes. Where would you like me to start? I was mostly going to talk about Octavia's journey through this episode.
Okay.
She was really great. Because when she starts in this specific episode, she is less confident in herself, and none of the grounders are listening to her because they still see her as one of the sky people. And so Indra tells her that she has to make them listen to her.
Right.
So she starts coming up with as many ideas as she can to get them clear of the fire. Mm-hmm. And by fire, I mean the bullets.
Hmm.
So basically, as she's leading them, she's trying to get them to get from the cover that they're at to an underground tunnel.
Right.
That they can take refuge in and start kind of digging through to get clear of the sniper fire. She uses the alcohol to start a larger fire to create a smoke screen. She gets them through and essentially earns the respect of all the other seconds and every other grounder there.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty quick. It was like one act of heroism got their respect. But I also think that they were being more stubborn before that by pretending that they weren't acknowledging how tough she was really being. Because she had been, like, kind of a stone-cold badass for a while. And they had all noticed, but they were being stubborn because they were not sky people.
Yeah.
She's the coolest. I mean, like, really, like, she and Clark have just elevated their game in this show to just being the most badass characters in the show by far. Like, And it's interesting, too, to see that from the first episode, they were the two female leads they introduced to us as this is who's going to lead this show.
Yeah.
And then, Clark was like the leader character and Octavia dropped off for a while. And now it's right back to where it started, where these are the two characters. Like, that's who you're supposed to kind of love. And that's the character arc you want to see, I think.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. I mean, she's just really, really cool.
I agree. And I think that it really, like, their growth really shows in that moment where they're face to face and Clark is like, I'm glad you're alive. And she's like, you too. Or that could have been reversed. I don't remember the
order. No, you're right.
Yeah.
She's like, I thought you were dead. I'm glad you're not. She's like, you too. And that's it.
That was it. And they just walked off and did whatever they needed to do. And I was like, this show can do no wrong, I swear.
Here's a moment I loved was when, you know, there's a little bit of, there's a little bit of, like, recoup. And they've bandaged some people up. And then... I'm sorry. Abby walks up to Clark and she says, hey, I need to talk to you. And she says, no, I need to leave. She's like, we're going. She's like, what's happened? She's like, I've arranged a caravan for you and the wounded back to Camp Jaha. I'm going to the mountain. And it was just like a total like, look, I'm in control here. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. You want to bandage people, you want to be weak, be my guest. There's a caravan taking you back. I'm going to go save my friends because I'm in control here. And it's just great. She's a warrior.
Yeah.
You know, she's a warrior. She's not her mama's little girl anymore. And she's just like, I'm sick of that notion. Get out of here.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And it's rightfully so. Just like when Abby and Kane were stuck in there, she was just like, you know, she's not, you know, my daughter, and you know, how she was. You could see it in her face of like disgust and disappointment, but at the same time, her realization of, oh wait, she was doing what I did with my husband and floating him, and I was like, whoa, that got really deep. And I also liked like how Clark had to kind of tell Lexa to be like, stop telling me what to do. Okay, I get it. No more lessons. I figured it out. Like, I get it now. And I think Lexa finally realized that when Lincoln was kind of taken for like a split second, and she shot him through the shoulder to kill the sniper. And I was just sitting there going, and I loved the line, which I had here.
So did that make you feel better?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I liked Lexa's line where it was like, did that make you feel better? And she was like, no. But I liked when, Lincoln was just like, your people need you. And she was just like, you are my people. Bang. And I was like, Clark, you have gotten so far, which I also want to bring up because I brought a picture to show everybody. Someone who tweeted, I think to myself or you, Ben, I can't remember.
Of the character journey? Is that what I'm about?
Kind of. If we can see it, I would greatly appreciate it. But if not, I have it here on my computer, and you guys can see it on there. It literally shows, how everybody has changed from literally the first episode to what they look like now.
Yeah. I saw parts of this tweeted online. Yeah.
And it really spoke to me because looking at this whole episode, especially this one, since it was super violent, how much Clark and Octavia and actually just everybody in general has been through. I feel like if Clark didn't go through the things that she did, I feel like she wouldn't be the greatest, like the great leader that she is now. And Octavia is going to eventually take that over, which I know a lot of fans were like, no, but I can see that, you know?
Yeah.
But I really liked, the writing for when people were trying to stand up to the people that they were, you know,
totally
getting over, which was Octavia and Clark a lot in this one. So.
Agreed. All right, so we're running short on time. I know that you have some questions from the fans, so
I have a couple.
We're gonna jump through those real quick and then jump into predictions.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
Stephanie at Stephanie Canuck says, "Do you guys think Clark will continue down this dark path of hers, and has it hit a turning point?"
No. Well, it hasn't hit a turning point since it's dark. I think she will continue down the path. It may be perceived as dark because she's having to make hard decisions, but Clark has an unwavering moral capability that's going to carry her as the lead character in the show, in my opinion.
I could not say it better than Ben. Next question.
It was not a question, but it's just someone who tweeted out that I'm going to shout out to them. They said, thank you for pointing out the infinite amount. I'm sorry, this is Angelica.
At
Ang SS... San. Thank you for pointing out the infinite amount of ammo the sniper had. My thoughts exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, I felt like I was the only one that felt that way.
Then
last shout out is to, I don't even know how you pronounce that, but their username is at Pretty Cool. And I can't wait to see the after show for tonight's episode. It's going to be one hell of a talk. Which is technically what we talked about.
And
it
was.
Like we've had a hell of a talk.
Seriously.
So tweet Henry and Cusack right now. If you didn't, now please do it and let him know to come on the show because he's awesome. And Lindsay Morgan because we think she's great.
Definitely.
Use emojis, the hearts, cool cat emojis.
Murphy too.
And tweet Murphy.
All of them. And while you're doing that, make sure that you go onto iTunes and rate us with 5-star if you love what we're doing, 4 stars if you think we can improve. If we can, make sure to leave a comment. Also, if you're on YouTube, leave a comment below. Make sure to like this video. And awesome. So let's move into predictions.
Whew. Did you say that all in one breath?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. I'm so proud of you right now.
He's an Olympic swimmer. He has big lungs.
Oh, is that your secret?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my man.
My man.
Nice Nice work, son.
I should have done that. All right,
let's start with you, Alexis.
Why me first?
All right, Ben, forget it. You missed your chance.
No, don't say that.
My prediction is that one of Indra or Kane will still die before the season's over.
Really?
All right.
Yeah.
I dig it. I'm not on that boat anymore. Did anybody else, before I get into my prediction, did anybody else feel like the start of the preview for next week was kind of strange? It was like super duper happy.
Yeah.
Just trying to like juxtapose because I think it was like a pretty intense, heavy ending.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always, okay.
It's like when they did the scene where Lincoln was eating the person.
Yeah, and it was like all happy like Christmas happy. Music. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Great
okay,
scene.
That makes, I forgot about that. Thank you for pointing that out.
Love You're welcome.
I feel like Indra's definitely going to die now that I think about it, because she's still injured. She hasn't gotten any kind of help, mm-hmm. and she's about to go into battle. She's going to die.
Yeah, and she's already named Octavia, like, her chief second. She's like, I mean, that's...
Yeah, that whole thing where she was like, you know, you're my second, get their respect. And I was like, oh, yeah, she's going to die.
Yep.
That's what's happening.
All right, and I am going to predict that the fog will affect everyone outside of Mount Weather. Bellamy will come in and fix it somehow, maybe getting captured in the process. And also, I'm going to predict that we're going to get some Jaha time and see where he's going.
Yeah, I kind of miss him a little bit.
You know who I miss? Raven. Where the hell is Raven in this show? She's gone. She's not in the show anymore.
No. She's back at Camp Jaha, probably helping people out there. She's probably the one that was helping the second rescue team.
I get it. She just didn't have any screen time this episode or two episodes ago. She like barely was in the last episode.
She's busy. Working on things at Camp Jaha. Yeah. Relax.
She's busy being a hot...
Tori, we respect her acting talent. That's why we talk about her on the show. Don't diminish her, but just say she's...
Whatever. No, he wants to see her pretty face.
I was getting there. A hot actress who does amazing scene work.
She is incredible.
We love you, Lindsay Morgan, but he loves you more.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. I'm a professional.
I love you, Murphy.
All right. We're going to wrap this up. So cool. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thank you for all your comments. Thank you for everything that you have done for us in the past. Ben Bateman, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram.
Alexis Torres.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at atorres890.
And you can find me on Twitter at TariJ. That's TauriJay. Thank you for joining us once again. Have a wonderful night and stay grounded.
Bye, guys.
Ooh, good one.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.